Jim Hilton.
Praise God. The shofar's playing for you, Sister Kim. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. We are so blessed to have you back on the program, Sister Kim. I know the Lord has been doing like a massive download to you. You've got a powerful vision and a lot of other words to share with the folks tonight. And what a blessing to have you join us again.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to represent our Lord on this show. And thank you, really. Thank you for your work. It's interesting because I intentionally and purposely before an interview do my best to not check up on a topic or to even, if possible, not even contact the host so that I could really be hearing from the Lord. And when you called me just a few minutes ago and mentioned what you were going to play as you were waiting for me, and then we hung up, my body started shaking because, and I always tell people, I'm not shaking because I'm nervous. I'm shaking because I'm feeling what the Lord is doing. And I started shaking, and I believe that I have some timely words and a teaching that's going to be really encouraging to the body of Christ.
Well, praise God. The microphone is yours. I'm listening, and I know a lot of other people are, too. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. And I'm just going to reiterate that I have not been on the radio line here listening, so I'm going into this totally from the Lord. The topic the Lord has put on my heart to talk about tonight was preparing for persecution and to understand truly and completely what that means, what types of persecution and levels that there are, and different scriptures on that topic. But I'm going to share a small word that the Lord gave to me just a short time ago, and it was this: prepare my people for my coming. Prepare my people that for there to be a holy church, it must first be a holy church. It must be refined through the fire. Only then will it be purified for standing in my presence. Only few will withstand my fire to purify them, to make them holy. Holiness arrives only after enduring the heat and remaining faithful. While the world is purged from the mind, the flesh, and from the carnal desires, the evil one brings the heat, but it is I who blows the wind, allowing the furnace of refinement for those who receive the choice of endurement. My people are the holy people who have chosen to endure, chosen to be refined, and chosen to remain while the flames are around them. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I have been watching and listening and reading quite a bit about what is going on with persecution here in the United States and in other countries. I should say mild persecution. And I ended up writing an article just a couple of weeks ago that I titled The Blisters of the Saints. And I was watching a testimony of an individual, sort of like a courtroom-type testimony, of someone who had been persecuted because of their position as Christians in a business situation. And they were very, very much mistreated and persecuted outright and had quite a few things happen to them because of it. And the story is very moving and very touching, and it wasn't fair what's been done to them. But what struck me and what rose up in me again is that many of us in the Christian walk are not aware of our royalty and our walk and our intensity that we need to be able to withstand the persecution. And the point that I'm trying to make here, and then I'm going to move on to some things I want to share, is that this person did a lot of crying, and fairly so. So I'm not saying that. But when we read the story of the stoning of Stephen, we don't read about him weeping. was going on. When we read what Paul wrote about what all he endured and the beatings and the flogs and everything that he endured, you don't hear him saying that he's wiping his eyes as he's telling the story. And more importantly, Jesus did not cry when he was on the cross. Why was that? Because he chose to be there. When we make a decision to stand up for Jesus, we need to stand up with honor. We are going to be persecuted. We are going to be singled out. We are going to be given choices. And when we do, we need to stand up and we need to receive the blows of Christ. We don't need to bend over and sob and cry and say, woe is me, and I don't understand what's happening to me. How can this be happening? I was just being a Christian. Well, that is what happened to Jesus, and they killed him. That's where we are headed when we stand for Christ. And that's why the scripture says many will fall away, because many don't want that. Everyone wants to stay comfortable. Oh, sure, you know, we like our captive audiences. Even for me, right now, the people who are listening to me want to listen to me. They made a choice to be on this radio call. They made a choice to listen to this. My audience is captive. When I teach my Bible studies, I'm teaching a captive audience. I'm teaching and speaking to a group of people that want to hear me and, in general, are like-minded people. But it shifts completely different when we step out, which is what our assignment is, when we step out into the world and we are speaking to a group of people who don't want to hear us. That's exactly what Jesus said to the charge to the apostles when he said to them, don't take anything with you. Don't take any extra clothes. Don't take any coins in your belt. Don't take another pair of sandals. Don't take a walking stick. And, you know, and then he goes on and he says that, oh, by the way, they're going to persecute you. Oh, you're going to get flogged. But also you're going to be put in the center courtyards. People are going to hear you. Don't worry about what to say because I will give you the words. So this is my topic tonight. I may move a little bit from verse to verse, but this is overall my topic that the Lord has put on me. And first of all, this is what I'm calling it, how to prepare for persecution. First of all, we must clearly understand that is where we're headed. The only way that you clearly will endure and make it through and not be one of the goats that goes in the group of the goats and you stay in the group of the sheep, that you hang on to your who you say that you are, is first of all for you to know your identity. It will be your identity that causes the persecution and the difficulties coming your way. What I mean by that is you have to know who you are. You have to have those conversations with your family. You have to clearly know it. You must be prepared ahead of time. You must train and pray. What scriptures do you know already? Do you know how many scriptures warn us and tell us, not even really a warning, just telling us, this is what's going to happen. This is how you handle it. This is what you say. And guess what? Praise God because of it. So here are a couple of steps that I've made some notes here. Number one, you cannot put your trust in an armed fight. History has proven itself that mechanical and material might are insufficient in times of crisis. It's going to be something far deeper that's going to get you and your family through the hard times. Make sure that your relationship with God is right. No, I'm not talking about your attendance is right. I'm not talking about you being able to quote scripture right. I'm talking about your personal relationship with God. And that includes prayer, which is vital. You must strengthen your inner man. You must read your Bible with a hunger. You have to understand there's warnings and warnings. I've received so many prophetic words where God has said, know my word. You must hide it in your heart, for it will sustain you. So many hints and things of the signs that are pointing to the fact that we may not even have our Bibles anymore It may take a little bit till that happens, but what are you going to do? Do you understand the scripture that says, and we know, we're seeing it, that right will be wrong and wrong will be considered right? How are you going to know? How, with all this indoctrination and this little shift of media and things that are considered funny that really aren't funny and topics that used to be really something you don't do or talk about now is just sort of commonplace, what's going to happen when the shift is even further? Where is your compass set and how did you get it set? The only way it's going to be set is that you know who you are and you know the Word of God, because so much is going to be pushed against us that it's going to be quick. And I'm just going to give you some examples. Well, I'm going to share that in just a second. Okay, and number, maybe little notes here. Christ must be real to us to prove loyalty to Him in a crisis. Do you think that you're going to be able to withstand a decision, a moment of decision, if Christ is not real to you? Not that you just have some knowledge of Him. See, I did that in another topic, the lesson of the lamps, and I talked about that. I think, I'm sorry, it could be a different radio program I was on recently, but if you read the story about the bridegroom, you know, the 10 virgins, and they had their lamps, you see, everyone had lamps. It's not about having a lamp. It's about being prepared and having what you need and to be ready when it happens. Because, you know, you might say, well, you know, it really was about a lamp. No, it wasn't. Because it would be the same if I said to you, Christianity is about having a Bible. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's what's in the Bible. And no, it's what you do about what's in the Bible. So you can have a Bible. You might even be able to flip it open and to read Psalm 100 and find a couple of scriptures that you've got marked or little notes or whatever. Maybe you have a family member that wrote something in there. But that's not what's going to get you through the hard times. It's that personal, in-depth relationship with Christ. And I'll share this example. I believe I shared on the last show, but I like to really give this because the Lord put this on me just a couple of months ago. If we go back to World War II, and you see pictures of the Jews that were in the concentration camps, and you know many of us have seen them, the men or the women that look like skeletons, but they were alive, and they're in those sort of like jail-type suits, and they're very skinny, and they were starved, and you see the barbed wire. It was horrible. What killed those people? Don't say it's the gas chambers. That's how they died. Don't say it was Hitler, because that's who killed them. What killed those people? It was their identity that killed them. Do you understand that all they had to do was say they weren't Jewish? All they had to do was not get a star put on their clothes. All they had to do was say they were a different religion. But they didn't. 6 million plus people died because of their identity. And if we look back last year when ISIS just began, and we saw those men in the jumpsuits, those orange suits that were kneeling, I think there was 12 of them, they were kneeling at the ocean, and they beheaded them. What killed them? Do you understand that all they had to do was say they were not Christian? It was their identity that killed them. When these situations arise and come to your doorstep, come to your place of work, come to you in public, are you going to blend in and be quiet and not make waves? Or are you willing to step forward like Stephen, step forward like Paul, step forward like John, step forward like on and on and on? Why did they step forward? Why did they endure what they did? Because of their identity with Christ. You must be sold out to be able to endure. Sold out means nothing phases you. And let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, sold out means you will do it alone. And I put this in one of the articles, was here's an example. If you were told at your courthouse in your town that there are armed soldiers at the courthouse and they will shoot anyone that comes there and says that they are a Christian, would you go? Or would you say, you know, I don't want any trouble. I need to be the provider for my family. I need to be a person of peace. I need to have my Christianity and my religion privately, and where, you know, everyone just wants to be fair to each other. Would you go to that courthouse, and if you had to be the only one that showed up, knowing that they were going to shoot you, would you go? So here's a couple of points here that I want to share. How do you prepare to have that type of identity within you? Number one, repent of prayerlessness. Not enough time on our knees. That's where the inner man gets strong. Repent of not knowing and being in God's word. Let me tell you, if I was to go to the gym and go in there and you see the big bodybuilders and the buff guys and buff women, and you say to the trainers, they come and greet you, and they're all in their little outfits and they're nice and healthy, and they have the little shake that they're drinking. And you say, can I look like that? Well, of course you can. You know why? Because they have disciplines that they follow. They follow certain things that they eat. They do certain things with their drinks. They take certain vitamins, and they do certain types of exercise, and they don't break away from it. And therefore, they have that type of physical body, that physique. Apply that spiritually. People say to me, Ms. Hilton, how do you hear those words from God? I always say, if I hear them, you can hear them. But I know my antenna is up because I spend the time in the Word. I, more importantly, spend time in prayer, lengthy, lengthy time in prayer. That's the same disciplines. Do the spiritual disciplines. How to prepare? Number one, repent of your prayerlessness. Number two, repent of not knowing and being in God's Word. Number three, clearly know your identity and where your trust is. Are you willing, like Abraham, to build an altar, have a rope, tie the child, lift him up, put him there, and raise the knife, knowing that something is in the bushes? Do you have that level of trust? Do you have that level of faith that you know that something will be there for you, and it may actually be up in heaven in the next life? You may lose your life. Many will fall away, even leaders that you thought were strong. What if you called your pastor, and I'm not singling pastors out, but I'm just saying as an example, someone you may look up to, and it's going to happen. What if you called your pastor or that person that you thought was really strong or assumed was and said, let's go to the courthouse. Let's make a stand. I heard that there's soldiers there, and they're saying that they're going to attack Christians. We need to go. You may be surprised at the people, the person that says, no, I'll pass. And you have that drive and that burn and that fire in you to make that stand at a certain time about a certain position. And you may be standing alone, which is the ultimate test. Nobody went with Abraham. He didn't have a partner. He didn't have a prayer partner going with him. He went alone. Here's a quote of Billy Graham that I have here. Those who shout the loudest may surrender sooner, and many boast of being courageous but will be cowardly in a time of difficulty. I want to give you a few examples here. Are you still with me, sir?
Yes, I have my mic muted, but
okay.
Yes,
I was like,
yes.
I hope I wasn't talking into
No, you're this is awesome. I'm psyched out. I've got 1 Peter 4:12 keyed up. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial that's the trial.
Oh, I already have it marked, brother. I already have it ready to flip. I'm ready.
Steal your thunder. Praise Jesus. Go for it.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Okay, here's some examples. Subtle. I want to give you three examples. Subtle persecution, medium persecution, and true persecution. You guys need, we need to, not just you, me, we need to know this. Here's an example of subtle persecution. Be careful what you're getting into. We're not comfortable with you in leadership anymore, and I think that we may need to have someone else do it. We had a meeting about you, and we decided it's best not to have you do that anymore. no return calls or no response when you've brought something important up for Christ. Here's a good one. No encouragement for your idea, your effort, your idea of working for God or that position that you want to take. People at church don't speak to you like they used to. People at church don't look at you like they used to. People prefer to be a little bit silent when you're around. People avoid you. It happens, my brothers and sisters. And it happens with people that you would expect it would not be coming from. Why? Because there's goats that think they're sheep. They dress like sheep. They baa like sheep, but they're goats. Media and persecution. You don't receive the invites, or you find out that everyone was invited except you. You cannot talk about that here. You call others and you find out that they're not calling you back, or they discuss you with other people, or they tell you that they've had a meeting about you. They attempt to disconnect from you and even alienate you. Your friends betray you, and family betrays and avoids you. True persecution, loss of money, loss of food, loss of shelter, loss of family, loss of life. Be aware of what's coming. Be aware what's happening now. Be aware of choices that come your way. Be aware of who you are and your identity, even if you have to stand it alone. And do it with your head up. And do it praising God like the apostles did. Don't weep and wonder what's going on. Don't weep and wail and say this isn't fair. That is shameful to our identity as a Christian. If you make the decision to stand up for Christ, that's when all of the crying and whining must stop. Stand up and know who you are. Stand up and know that the Lord is with you and He is your rear guard. This is one I want to share, just a couple of how we can have some choices, and this even happened to me. But here's just an example. Let's say this is more true probably with men because they're the providers in general, but it's going to be common with men and women. But let's say you go to your job and you're called into a meeting and you're given a form. And they say, you know, we decided we don't want religion discussed here. We don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable. And to be fair to everyone, we're going to keep it generic and there's not going to be any discussion like this on your job. And we want everyone to sign it. Do you know how easy it is to rationalize that and say, you know, I think that's good because that way I'm not going to be talking to people that don't agree with me. Or, you know, I'm involved in my Bible study in my church. I even have Bible study in my home, and I have my prayer partners. And, you know, I understand that. That's okay. I can handle that. And you sign your name. And you just made a compromise because it's so easy to rationalize where that's coming from. And that's back to what I said in the scripture. You must know your word. You must have your compass pointed in the right direction, because right will be considered wrong and wrong will be considered right. And if you're not thinking, you're going to be shifted. And this happened to me just a couple of weeks ago. And this is how easy these type of rationalizations happen. I was getting my car tags at the clerk's office and I was in line, and the woman asked me, do you want regular plates or special plates? Something like that. And I said, oh, is there any difference in cost? And she said, no. And I thought it was going to be like where you make up your own tag or something. And she goes, no, they're the same. And I said, well, what are they? And she said, in God we trust, or regular. And I said, oh, in God we trust. And she turned. Now, this is all within seconds. So, you know, do you want regular? How much are they? They're the same. Which do you want? In God we trust, regular. I say, in God we trust. And as she turns around to reach for it, right then in my mind, it went through, but I don't want to be a target. So I thought, I went, no, I do want to be a target. So do you see how quickly I could have chosen, well, I don't want to be a target. So I'll just get the regular plates. So right then, that little bird flew over my head. Now, was it going to land or was it going to keep flying? And I made the choice, keep flying, old buddy Satan there. I am willing to be a target. You know, it just was that fast in seconds. So those are the type of choices and different things that are coming our way from the small little areas. And just like we talk about the inch to the mile, little inch, little inch, little inch, little inch. Okay, you can't talk about that here. You can't write about that there. You can't have that Bible study here like you used to. We've got to do this to be fair across the board. Okay, do you want that on your tags? Do you want that on your car? Are you willing to do that? All the way until eventually it's going to be obvious things that are going on. So I'm going to share some scripture. And then I'll stop and see if the Lord leads on this. Let's go to, I'll just go in the order of my notes, to John 15:18. Let's see here. I use the NIV, and I hope that doesn't, well, I use both, but the my main one that I read from aloud is the NIV. John 15:18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Big scripture. Okay, the next one. 1 Peter 4:12-14 here. A lot in 1 Peter about persecution. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering. This is what gets me with people that are having things done to them. Listen, share with each of us privately the anguish. Weep privately with your spouse or your close person in the Lord, but not publicly. Because when you're at home and you weep privately, you're crying the tears of Jesus. But understand, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange was happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear name. For it is written in the time of judgment to begin with the family of God, for it begins with us that we will be the outcome. I'm sorry. And if it begins with us that will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? If it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. And I have another one here, 1 Peter 3:14. Got this marked all over my Bible here. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Okay, 1 John 3:13. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. How many times are we hearing that? Don't be surprised. And what is this going on? Everybody's like, what's happening? This isn't fair. I don't understand. Yes, you do. Just nobody prepared you. Nobody gave you a clear understanding of who you are. That's what's missing here. Know your identity. You don't need to be surprised. Here's another one. It's a simple one. Luke 6:22. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject you and your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated. Can you imagine that? When you are making a stand and people mock you, people avoid you, people gossip about you, people alienate you, people fire you, people give you choices to have riches and money and security or nothing, and you think it's nothing, and you pick the nothing, knowing that it's everything. That's what happened to the prophets. And sometimes I think about that. We read stories here in the Bible, for example. We read about Abraham and what he did. You know, he was prepared to make his sacrifice. We just hear that short little story in so many sentences. We don't hear the discussion. We don't hear if there was a wrestling match. We don't hear if the son screamed and cried and begged. We don't know the bits and pieces. We don't know if how much he wept. We don't know the journey. We just hear the result of the story. We hear that he won in victory because of his faith. We hear about the stoning of Stephen in short little verses. We don't know all the bits up in front of it. We just know the meat of the story. So we hear, you know, we read these wonderful words of the prophets, and we quote them, and we study them, but we don't know. It says right here, rejoice in the day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. Why? Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, and when they insult you, and when they reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. But that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But now we know the bits and pieces of what happened before their victory. They were told they were no good. They had people that hated them. They were excluded, and they rejected their name as evil. But yet, we read about them thousands of years later because of their stand and because of their knowledge of their identity. And the last one I want to share, 2 Corinthians 4:8-12. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. That's the physical flesh and life. We carry that being persecuted in our body, the difficulties. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. Praise God. And if we look in Ephesians 6, I have a teaching on that. That could be for another time. That's over here too. But if we read in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God, and you understand the verse that says, I'm going to get over to it while I'm talking, is it says, and I love this part, a lot of people miss, and at the end of verse 13, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. And when it's translated out of the Greek, it means to stand upright. To stand up again. What it's saying is, we're going to be knocked down. We're going to have trouble. We're going to sway when the pressure is put on us. But praise God, when we have done everything, we are still going to be standing. And I'll close with that. That's what the Lord led for me to share. And I guess I'll talk with you with any questions you have and see where the Lord takes it.
All right. Praise God. Oh, my. I don't know if you remember this, Sister Kim, but there was recently, it wasn't too long ago, WorldNet Daily, I believe it was, published or republished an article about a group of Syrian Christians. And what a lot of people don't realize is that of all the countries in the Middle East, Syria is actually one of the countries that has the most Christians. I'm not going to get into all the darkness and how the forces of darkness are going in there and setting it up so that they can be slaughtered, because that's true, but that's kind of beside the point. The point I wanted to bring forward was that, and I was looking for the article, I don't have it handy, but what's really fascinating is here we have Christians in a part of the world where Christianity is hated and people are killed over it, or could be killed over it. You have, I had a person that became a listener of this radio program. Now, I don't know where she is right now. I hope she's okay. But if she's with Jesus because of persecution, then praise God. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus, for her. Her name, I guess I better not say it just in case there, because I know we do have listeners from Pakistan. But anyway, her and I talked quite a bit, and imagine living in a place where your mother and your father and everybody around you that you know, every person in the store, every relative, everyone, if they found out that you love Jesus, they would drag you out into the street and stone you to death instantly. No questions asked. Mm-hmm. That's the life that she was living. And so where I'm heading with this is, imagine if you were in Syria and you were led to Jesus. You were a relatively new, really, for all, essentially, you were a baby Christian.
Babe, yeah.
You were, you know, comparatively speaking, to when you compare the level of their understanding of Christianity, these are relatively new Christians. And they were led by the Lord to serve God by helping the people of Syria in a Christian capacity. When when they heard that, you know, ISIS, the troops of ISIS were heading into their town, the ministry leaders of their group went to them and said, "Hey guys, this is your opportunity. You need to get out of here." And they said, "No, we're not leaving. The Lord led us to stay here. This is where our ministry is. We're here to serve God's people here. This is where God led us." And the ministry leader went back and forth with them. "No, you really need to go. They're going to kill you." And they said, "No, this is where the Lord led us to stay." These people had children. The ISIS, I'm cutting a long story short, folks, but the ISIS people came in, told them that they had to deny Christ. They refused to deny Christ, and the ISIS entities began to dismember their children in front of them.
Right.
And they
exactly.
did not
yes,
deny
the
Jesus.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
They hung them from crosses in public.
Right.
They
the 12-year-old boy.
Yes. That's my point. There wasn't
right.
a second thought. They didn't say, "Hey, everybody, there's a weapons cache over here. Let's all grab machine guns and shoot the ISIS people and defend ourselves." They did not say that. They willingly laid down their lives of them and their children to demonstrate the love of Jesus in front of everybody.
Yes.
And that is
Let me
how
say this.
We win souls for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's all in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's all over the Bible. It is our willingness. When people see us have such enormous love and faith, that we know we're going to heaven. We know that when our children are killed, that they will be in heaven and we will be right behind them and we will be dancing in glory in fields of flowers with Jesus by our side. What do they have to be afraid of? Nothing. And they knew it. They had the faith that pretty much most of the developed world of Christianity does not have today. And it's amazing because, for all intents and purposes, they were new Christians, and they had the faith of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus to stand their ground in love and be willing to lay their lives down to bring one more person to the foot of the cross.
Amen.
That's awesome.
And,
that's awesome.
One thing in that story that's part of what happened is, and I share this, is that you may feel that you're very strong, and you feel like, "I can endure it." But what happens in these situations is they pit the weak against the, it's hard to explain. It won't be that they'll say to me, okay, they grab me, Kim, will you give up Christ? No. Okay, and they beat me. Kim, will you give up Christ? No. And they beat me. What they will do is they take someone weaker that I love. So they may take one of my children, well, or my grandchildren, and I have little ones, real small, and my children are just starting to have their own children. And that's what happened in that situation, is the 12-year-old son of one of the missionaries, they grabbed him. And so they asked the father, of course, who's the stronger one, you would assume would be, and they would ask him to denounce Christ, and they started chopping the fingers off of the 12-year-old son, and whack, mm-hmm. you know, and then they'd ask the father again, and then whack to the son, and the whole time the son's saying, don't give in, Dad, don't give in, don't give in, and they, you know, like you said, they started just mutilating this boy, and ended up hanging them all on crosses, including that boy, he was alive when they put him there. And so that's why I share with many, many people, is have the conversation with your children and your family, because situations are coming. And if you're still here when all of this happens, you're not going to be able to do it in an instant. You need to have some preparation. And just like in the churches in China years ago, they were prepared for the persecution. The church prepared them for what was coming. And that's one of the reasons in the studies they did, trying to understand why did the church in China just explode when it was, they were persecuting and killing Christians, and how was it that it was just exploding like no other? And the study, you know, revealed that they were prepared and they knew their identity. They knew what to do and how to handle it. So my prayer is tonight that those who are listening have a new sense of your own identity, because the crossroads are coming, and they're coming sooner and more often. They're starting to be more subtle, and then there's going to be times it's going to be outright obvious that, well, you have compromised to that point where you can't turn around. You need to stay on your toes. You need to be aware of who you are and what you will not compromise for, knowing, like I said, that there will be something in the bushes for you and for your faith and for your stance. Have that level of faith and trust. And know that you will be glorified, if not here on this earth, that you will be glorified and rewarded greatly in heaven. And we must know this. And just like, you know, what you told me that you had shared with the hints of World War III starting, the time has come. And that's actually in my book, Closet Words, the first entry. It's a whole journal of words that I received from the Lord over a period of time. And I didn't write the book Closet Words. What happened is it's a journal of all these words that I've received from the Lord, and I printed that and called it Closet Words. So it's just, other than the introduction, there's nothing in the book about me. It's all these words I've received from the Lord for many years. And the first one I titled, The Time Has Come. And the first sentence is, the time has come for you to choose whom you are serving. Are you serving the one who provides for you? Or are you serving the one whom you fear? You have to know. You have to know. Believe me, there wouldn't be that many hints over and over and over. Know who you are. Be prepared. Understand what's coming. Don't be surprised. And it's said a lot of times, and there's a reason for that, because you're going to need it. Praise God.
Amen. And I think this is a really good break time, because I think that I'm just talking about to share a testimony of another mm-hmm. prophet that's directly
sure.
relevant, directly relevant. And I think this will move upon the spirit in you, Kim, and you'll feel led to share some other things after you hear this. But this is the prophet George Pennicuff. Pennicuff, that's Pennicuff. Now, he has gone to be with Jesus at this time, and quite frankly, I wish I was there with him. this is him speaking, I don't know, about a year plus ago on the True News radio show. And listen to his testimony about the times that this country, the United States of Babylon the Great, is about to enter into. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
About 5 minutes.
I've seen many visions, and I have not told anybody about them because I wanted to put them together. I wanted to put them together in a string of events that would warn people effectively. Because no matter who you are, friend or enemy, Christian or non-Christian, you deserve the right to know what's coming. In the next year, you will see a persecution that is like no other on this earth. There never has been one like this up until now. The man is in place. And I do not care how many times he mouths the word of God. I do not care how many times he speaks the word Yeshua. This man is going to prove himself to be evil beyond words. The campaign has already started. I read yesterday where men are starting to consider doing away with term limits because President Obama is what they call a lame duck president, and he cannot get his agenda through because all of the congressmen and all the senators are up for re-election, and they do not want to vote with a lame duck. This duck is anything but lame. His approval ratings have gone to the bottom of the barrel. But watch out. This man is cunning. This man is devious beyond words. And the evil that he will bring upon the U.S. will be the most terrible price to pay for the people that followed him. And I'm not talking black and white here. I'm talking evil and good, light and darkness, persecution, the most vile word there is in the English language, persecution. And it will come down on you, Americans, with the force of a thunderbolt. Preachers, make sure your testimony and your teaching is right. Make sure before it's everlastingly too late that you've been preaching the right thing to your congregation. This is no longer a question of doctrine. This is a question of your soul and eternity. For the dark hand is about to be raised and will come down on everything that smacks of religious freedom and personal freedom. And you will see a darkness come over this earth within the next 12 months. I would say by this time next year, this man will have shown himself for exactly what he is. Evil beyond words. He is the Antichrist.
Wow, praise God. And that was a while ago. You know, of course, he weaved in some estimations on the timeline, and that was a little bit off, but no big deal there. That's very common nowadays. Everybody takes a stab at stuff and you know, says, well, I think in this. But But everything else that he said lines up. It's very eerie. It lines up eerily with prophecies and dreams and visions of people that we've been monitoring for the last 5 years, going, you know, back even to 2010. And it's like, you know, you really couldn't quite put it all together. But now we've gotten to the point, I perceive it as, because we're on the very precipice of all hell breaking loose ultimately, that the Lord has, you know, busted the dam down, and now we're just getting this flood of anointed information from the throne room that allows us to stitch all this otherwise disconnected prophetic information into a story that helps us to prepare for what's coming. I think within probably less than a year from now, people like me and a lot of other people, if my guess is correct, folks that have radio shows and that are publicly in the media are probably not going to be around any long, unless there is a supernatural protection that comes down from the throne room of God at an extremely powerful level that keeps that individual alive and well, because they have more work to do for the kingdom. But anybody out there who's kind of little C Christian, or they got iniquity in their heart, or they're telling people to do things they shouldn't ought to be telling people to do, and they have big microphones, or the, you know what I mean? I honestly believe that they're going to disappear. I think that the forces
they
of darkness
will.
Are going to take them away and off with
absolutely.
Their
absolutely. Yes. When was this recorded by
Pentecuff? Yeah, he's known as the Prophet George Pentecuff. He I think it was,
you know,
about 2 years ago.
Interesting. Yes. You know, that's true. What the Lord has pressed heavily with me is, let me just back up first. I have seen in the last just couple of months, and in the last week specifically, now I know 3 people personally who are in leadership type positions that are being outright persecuted because of it. One individual is in the media, is a Christian, and has a very large following, has a website, and Facebook completely banned him. He called it Facebook jail, and totally blocked him out for a period of several days for what I feel was something quite minor, but it's very obvious of the censorship. And then I have another individual who is in the political world, of the Christian political world, and just recently was called in about the job that she works at and has outright been given a choice. Of a very good job with security, and because of something that she wrote about a so-called Christian pastor and the school's position on a particular issue, and she was stunned and sent me a message, and we've talked since then, because it's pretty huge. I mean, it's dramatic. It's one of those, we're going to have a meeting, and be just like, you work, just hypothetically, you work at a factory, let's say, and here you have this on your own dollar, your own time, your own energy, and you're called in, and you're called on the carpet at your job about this. And that's basically what happened to this individual, and was outright told, you've got so much time, and you've got to stop or else. And you might think, well, does that scratch your head? Is that really happening? Well, yes, it's really happening. And we might be seeing it a handful of cases here and a handful of cases there. But, you know, the trickle starts out into the stream, and the stream gets into the river. And so all of the prophecies are coming clearly. And I don't tell people, you know, let's just say all the stuff that's floating out there, let's just say half of them are just people were off, or maybe they had indigestion and that dream was just a dream. And so let's just knock off half of them. Okay, well, then let's lose the other half. Okay, and then there are people that are in different locations in the world, different denominations, unconnected, men, women, wealthy class, lower class, people with biblical knowledge, people with have no knowledge, children, whatever. And there's too many that are merging, crisscrossing each other and hitting on the marks with each other, that there's no way that something is not going on, because there's too much information coming out from individuals. And just as the word says, you know, that there's going to be the signs and the sun and the moon and the stars, people, there's going to be dreams and there's going to be visions. And I receive, I've just recently had a couple of dreams, I generally either dream words, which is more rare, but I receive words when I'm awake. But that just reminded me, that's why I paused, is I had a dream last week. Let me share this with you. And actually, I put it on my One True Church Facebook page. Let me just mention that real quick. You can find me on YouTube under my name, Kim Hilton. You can find me on Facebook, One True Church Community. That's the number one, True Church, and it says community on it. And then, of course, the website, onetruechurch.org. But I had this dream, and it was sort of like a war-type setting in a way, but it was like barracks. Is that the only way I can explain it? But it was this great big room, and there were all of these important people that were in this room. And the enemy, and what I saw, I looked out the window, and I'm not singling out a particular ethnic group. I'm just sharing what the dream was. But they looked sort of like Asian to me. Could have been dark skin, but I just remember the dream that they were thinking they were Asian soldiers. But there were tons and tons of soldiers coming, and I kept hearing that we've made a mistake. They've made a mistake. There's too many important people all in one room. All of these leaders are together, and they had realized that they could surround us and overtake us because of this mistake. So I sent a little boy out running to go see what he could see. And he was like maybe a 10 or 11-year-old boy. And he went out, and he came running back full speed and came in and told me, there's soldiers everywhere. They're coming. It's an invasion, and they're coming. And they know that we've made a mistake by having all of these important people in the same at the same place at the same time. So I take the boy into this room, and there's all of these, you know, they had uniforms on, and it was like this important meeting. And I couldn't get anyone to even pay attention because they were so into their own meeting. And I kept trying to get attention and say, listen, you know, they're out there. They're coming. They're out there right now. It's starting to get dark. And finally, they ignored us so much that we took off running in the dream to come home and warn our families and to tell everybody we just had a little bit of time to prepare for the invasion. And then I woke up. And for me, I generally don't have those type of dreams. So when I woke up, I was like, wow, that was quite a dream. And that was last, let me get my days straight, could have been last weekend at the latest, or maybe Monday of the week. But what I'd like to do, if it's all right with you, before our time's up, because this is specifically one of my assignments from the Lord, is to share, in case of those that have not heard this before, but I want to share the prophetic word to God's people, if that's all right with you, before we close.
Yeah.
Okay. This was given to me. You can find this and listen to it on the YouTube channel, but this is what God gave me, four portions, one's to the church, the other to God's people. The other one is to those who stand in my pulpits. You can listen to that on True News. Look up True News, Kim Hilton, Prophetic Word, that portion. And then there's another one. And that one on True News is to those who stand in the pulpits. And then the last portion is to those who claim to be in ministry. So the four categories covers the Christian walk as a whole. And I will read this quickly before our time's up. To the church. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you prepared for those who are coming? They are coming. They are coming. Many will come who understand and will repent, and many will come who do not understand and will need understanding. Are your plans in place? Be prepared for the harvest. Are your nets in place? You are a lighthouse. You are a beacon. You are a life raft.
You are a life ring. You are a life jacket. You are the lighthouse in the storm. You are the beacon of light in the darkness. You are the life raft in the waves. You are a life jacket to the drowning. Where is my church? Where is your strength? Where is your light? The harvest is plentiful. Where are my workers? Where are my servants? I cry out for my harvest, but the workers are few. You are called to be the strength to the world, yet you do not even put out your nets. Where are my watchmen? Where are the workers of the wall? Where is your protection? I scream for my workers, but you are asleep during the watch. Awaken, rise up, my church, for the time has come to take heed. The storm is coming. Do you see it? Where are the guardsmen guarding the wall? The guardsmen guard what is precious. The watchmen stand high to see what is coming so that those inside can prepare. Who is guarding your walls? Prepare, prepare, unify, and be strong. The time is here. To my people, are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you prepared for those who will be coming to your home who will need your help? Can you give answer to the hope you have within you? Where is my word? You come to my house claiming to be of me, yet you do not even know my word. You come into my house while my book gathers dust in yours. Week after week you come and you have not even picked up my book. You use a machine to give you pieces of my word. Where is my word? Where is my word? I look at your door frames and they are bare. I look at your gates and they are bare. Where is my word? Where is my word? Read my word, know my word, hide it in your heart because you will need it. You must know my word for it will sustain you. Hide it in your heart. My word will sustain you in the darkness. I am a consuming fire. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. The words I give you today will be the same tomorrow. The words I gave the prophets of old are the same for you today. I am everlasting. I am a consuming fire. I am the God of truth. Come only with truth. You sing to me while your heart is hiding your sin. I want no secrets. I want nothing concealed. My people who are called by my name are a people of truth. Do not come to me with your feet. Do not come to me with your hands. Do not come to me with your lips. Come to me with your heart. You cannot come to me week after week with sin in your heart. I am all-knowing. Repent with truth. Speak the truth to me, for I already know it before you speak it. Do you think you can fool the Lord God? Do you think you can claim to be of me while you hide parts of yourself? You cannot come to my throne on high without truth. Come to me with truth of who you are, and I will meet you there. Your God is holy. Do you not know that my son became the lamb, beaten, bloody, and died so that I can even hear you? You were redeemed for a high price, the price of his life. My only son redeemed you. Do not cheapen his price. Do not come with deceit. Do not come to me with excuse. Do not praise me if you have not confessed all truth to me. I probe your heart, and I want all of you. I search for my people who are of spirit and of truth. Why do you question obedience? Has the world corrupted your thinking that you can question the Lord God on high? Before my death angel came, my people were told to place blood over their door frames. They obeyed without question. It was their obedience that saved them. My son Noah obeyed without question. For the sake of his grandfather, I delayed 800 years in hopes to find more worthy. In my anger, in my despair, in my rage against an evil world, I brought calamity to it. It was through obedience Noah and his family were saved. Noah and his family covered their ears, for the noise was deafening. My servant Joseph and his entire family were saved from the great famine. My people were saved by obedience without question. Be obedient to my words. Be truthful to me. I detest a lying tongue and a lying heart. Bear your soul to me, and I will give you rest. Bear your heart to me, and I will claim you. Obey my warning. Obey my instruction without question. It will save you and your family. Your children. Do not let anyone who is not of me around your children. The world is evil. Trust not the world with your children. You are of royal priesthood. My people are a holy nation. Your children wear royalty because they are pure. Prize your offspring. They are pure. Cover their ears from the corruption of this world. Cover their minds, or the world will take them from you. The world is coming. They are rattling the doors, shaking them like in the days of Lot. Are your doors fastened? Are you inside with provisions like Noah? Are you unshakable, pure, holy, and true to me, with standing against the world? Where are the men? Where is the strength of my people? Does not a thief come in and tie the strong man so that he can rob the whole house? Are there any strong men left who can protect my people? Men, rise up. I want men of strength and of truth. Noah was refuge to the people, yet he saved his family. The storm is coming. I am warning my people. Do you hear the sound of the threshing floor? Will you fall between the cracks like the tares? I claim only a people of truth. I claim only a church found spotless and holy. Prepare, prepare, repent now before it is too late. The day of Noah was much repenting, but my face had already turned. The day of Lot was wailing and sorrow, but my face was already turned. Do not wait until disaster to think of me in your heart. Do not wait for the deafening noise to call out my name. Come now, come to me now with your wailing. Confess to me, come to me with a pure heart, with lips that speak truth at my throne. Be warned, be warned. I will claim only a people of holiness, undaunted, untainted, unchanged, and unmoved. I am your rock. I am forevermore. I am the everlasting God. Those who have ears, let them hear the word of God. I pray that those who have been listening this evening have been moved and touched by these words of the Lord. I pray that you prepare and earnestly know your personal identity and be willing to stand completely alone. Thank you again for your time. You can always reach me through my website at One True Church. That's the number one, truechurch.org, or through Facebook, One True Church, or on YouTube, Kim Hilton.
Wow. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Wow. That was, I'm very, very inspired. And I pray in the name of Jesus that every single one of you that are listening to this program right now, all across the world, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. We're going to see many of the developed countries across this world fall deep into a world war cataclysmic state. And on very short notice, the persecution of the church is going to raise and escalate to a level that is, apocalyptic in nature. All the prophecies in the Bible are about to come true. The persecution is coming down, and we should be boldly standing with the name of Jesus on our shirts, on the fronts of our houses, on the backs of our cars, on our bumper stickers. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. With the love of Jesus Christ, ready to lay down our lives to bring just one more person to the foot of the cross. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you so much, Sister Kim, for joining us tonight. What a powerful program. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. And just to reiterate the prophetic word to those who stand in the pulpit, you can find that on True News under Kim Hilton Prophetic Word. And that's quite an interview that's been out there. And you can pick up that portion, and then the rest of it's on YouTube. Thank you again. And thank you for this program. And I look forward to hearing from those. Please write me, because we do answer. And I look forward to hearing from you. God bless you.
God bless you all. Be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word, deceiving yourselves. James 1:22. God bless you all. Send out emails. Send out links. Wake everybody up, because we're running out of time. It's a matter of, who knows, maybe Passover. According to some of the prophecies that are coming out, it may be Passover when everything turns to a cataclysmic judgment state that most of us couldn't imagine in our worst nightmares. Praise Jesus. And so be ready. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Kim. God bless you all. We'll see you this Wednesday.
Good night.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. At the center of it all, sing it. Jesus at the center of it all.
I shall lift my obedient children to the clouds, for they shall see my glory.